This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Cheryl Glassford. It's a snack pack, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Cheryl Glassford for the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us that magical 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Plus, if you could like, share, follow and subscribe. Subscribe today to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast. We're just short of 1,500 YouTube subscribers, so please help us out today. We're just short of the 1,000 followers mark on Facebook, so go ahead and help us out there as well. Please go ahead and make sure you're doing that so you can get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast. And as always, we give a big shout out to, of course, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, John McCalion Channel also as well, John Costa's Lakers Corner at Clutch Talk, and of course, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, yo, and our good friends, the Lakerholics, Lakerholics.com, Jamie Sweet, and Laker Tom. But also as well, got to make sure you give a heads up to the man indeed, it is, of course, Joe Soro from Simblades, simbladeswithy.com, and Ox1947 at LakersBall.com as well. Well, the Lakers tomorrow heading into a back-to-back, which normally would be pretty concerning, but we shouldn't be concerned because the Lakers are heading into Toronto, where Toronto has lost 13 straight games, heading into Magic Man territory. And then after that, the Lakers will be playing 14 wins only on the season for the Washington Wizards. So this should be easy, right? Well, why does Jamie Sweet, when we talked to him on last night's postgame, say that the Lakers are not only going to lose one, but lose both games? Do you have that same confidence or lack thereof in mind? We're going to go ahead and talk about that on how well the Lakers will finish up on the road trip, but just some quick notes. Jackson Hayes will be back in the rotation come Tuesday night, but Gabe Vincent will not be. Gabe Vincent, they're resting on the front end of a back-to-back, so he will not be available for tomorrow night's game. We still don't know the status for LeBron James or Anthony Davis and or Anthony Davis, so we'll see then, but go ahead and stay tuned at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, where we will give you the updates indeed. But here's the man indeed. He is the guy who will return, hopefully with a Lakers nightcap on Tuesday evening, hopefully after Lakers victory. It is Joe Soro, and Joe, and immediately upon me timing things out, he puts his headset down. I don't know what you were doing right there with that. Just ready to go ahead and turn it over to you. Can you hear me, Joe? Joe is actually busy right now, so let me go ahead and get him off the air there while he straightens everything out with his 15 headsets. Can you hear me, Joe?
I can hear you. It's just I
Got it tangled on one of the power cords.
Sorry. Oh, I cannot stand that. Believe me, if I could find a good wireless that would give me a good mic, I would love to switch that over. Believe me, I do know where as of you speak. But Joe, possibilities there. Two victories over two pretty bad teams is on the horizon. That's a possibility. Will the Lakers finish off this road trip 5-1?
I don't see why they wouldn't. If they beat Toronto, I don't see them losing to Washington. They just, these teams are just too bad to lose to, and the Lakers are playing for what could be an eighth seed at this point, being that Huerta and Monk are out with Sacramento. Those are integral parts of their rotation. Should they win those two games and the Kings lose one in the next two games for themselves, you're looking at now one game behind in the loss column, but they will lose the tiebreaker. So that means they got to go up another two games. I don't know. I don't see that they're not playing at this moment where they would look like they would lose these games. I just don't see it.
I'm hoping not. Again, losing, everything looks like it's all set up for the Lakers. Yes, it is a back-to-back, but my God, Joe, Toronto, 13 in a row. They have already just set sail on this season. And then right after it, you've got the Kuzma revenge game. Come on. 14 wins on the season for the Washington Wizards. There's absolutely no reason why the Lakers, with the dire need that they have to go ahead and win games at this point in time, because Phoenix did win, Sacramento, they did win. So these teams are still looking like they're going to have some space on the Lakers. In fact, as of now, Phoenix is two games ahead of Lakers. Sacramento is a game and a half. But remember, even though it's two games in the loss column, the Lakers don't own the tiebreaker there. And they're only one loss in front of the Golden State Warriors. So they have to keep on winning, Joe. It is paramount that they at least keep the ninth seed before they look higher.
I'm curious to see if they're going to win. If they play tomorrow and win, I'm curious if they're going to sit LeBron for the Washington game. I'm going to guess that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'd probably say that's
going to happen. There is a little risk there without having LeBron there, but he would get, counting the trip, I know it's a long trip from Washington to LA, but he would get, I think, 4 days off
to play. Because they got Saturday, correct?
To play Cleveland, which is fine. I think that would work if you wanted to keep him fresh somewhat for what I believe will be, after this run, the real test, because the teams are a little bit more challenging, which is going to be Cleveland, Minnesota, and Golden State. Golden State, the Golden State game, I still say, will be the determining factor on likely where the Lakers are going to go in the seeding. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, they're going to make a decision on whether they play LeBron or AD for the last two games on the road. That's how I'm looking at this. We would likely want them to have to play Memphis and New Orleans. That means they're close to an eighth or a seventh seed. These freaking teams aren't losing now. Phoenix beating New Orleans in New Orleans.
And Phoenix is, I mean, we saw Booker with another 50-point game performance. They're just trying to write. They're doing what the Lakers did last year heading into the playoffs, just gassing out everything that they can right now.
Because you have no choice. You have to guarantee yourself either a playoff spot or at least try not to have to play two games. The Lakers are in a position right now where if they don't win these games and win them considerably, I'd say they have one more loss and that's it. If they don't get... If they get one loss the rest of the way, there's a chance they could get to the eight, but they would need some help, obviously. But if any more than one, then they're not getting out of the nine for sure. And that's where they're at right now. I still think back at those five games in December that they lost. I keep looking at now that the X's are starting to come on top of the standings, where Minnesota, Oklahoma City and Denver are all clinched, I keep thinking we'd have the same record. The Lakers would have the same record as the Clippers. The only difference is we own the tiebreaker against them. That means we'd be in the fourth seed. That's why those games mattered. That's why those games made us upset. That's why we were ranting while numbnuts on the chats were saying we were too this and we were too that. You see now, for those of you listening,
we were hard on them. When I talked about January being such a missed opportunity, Joe, with all those home games that the Lakers blew in January, that's a missed opportunity as well. That's an extra two, three games, four games that you could have picked up there as well.
Next time when you say someone doesn't know what they're talking about, make sure your brain is working. I don't get upset if you're criticizing me. You can call me every name in the book. You can say the nicest things to me. Also, it's not going to change the opinion or what I'm watching. I want you all to know that who's listening, who don't chat. I know our regulars know who we are. But for those of you who are chiming in for the first time or those who are watch-hating without talking, understand something. If you're going to say something stupid, because there's a lot of that going on, you go on social media. That's why I can't be on Twitter for more than 2 minutes. Not even that, maybe more than 30 seconds, because you have such stupidity. And I know a lot of them are bots. I know a lot of them are sitting in a warehouse somewhere in other countries just trying to rile things up because that's how stupid people are. They don't realize they get played. But my thing is, don't ever tell us we don't know what we're talking about when we're watching every minute of something. How stupid is that? That's like going and talking to a plumber who literally plumbs every day, 6-7 days a week, and saying you don't know jack about plumbing. Really? You don't know what a PVC pipe is? You want to tell them that too? So understand something. Look at the standings. Five games, mundane games that we lost to Chicago, to Miami when they were eating crap, San Antonio, all these crappy teams that they had no business losing to. Look at now. Look at the difference. Five games. You'd be sitting in the fourth spot right now. With home court, not just a playoff spot, home court. And this team was capable of winning those games, except mentally, you had a coach who didn't think that way. You had a guy who kept bringing out excuses. And this is what it is. This is what happens when you're weak, even at the beginning. Just because, oh, it's the first month, it's okay. Well, that means you probably go to practice and go, it's only practice. It's not a big deal. Okay. Well, now you're reaping the benefits of it.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell from SimBlades, SimBladesWorldwide.com, and Oxide247 at LakersBall.com, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. It is the Lakers tomorrow in Toronto. Hey, it's not a weekend day game that they're playing, although the Lakers will be this weekend playing a weekend day game. But this time in Toronto, it's a night game. We always talk about how bad. That's one of the places, just like you and I, off the top of our head, the Rose Garden, you know, right there for Toronto. Just the places where it's almost like an automatic L for the Lakers because it was always played at a certain point in time. I thought that really had an effect on the Lakers every time that they played there. But tomorrow, it's a tomorrow night game. It's a night game for the Lakers. Your thoughts on what the Lakers will do? Plus, also, this team that they're playing in Toronto, absolutely in shambles, lost 13 in a row. They have checked out for the season. I don't want to give them any hope or any flicker of hope for the rest of the season with a win tomorrow.
I'm not really thinking about the Raptors. I'm thinking about the Lakers taking care of business. If they go in there like they did in the last game, they'll take care of business. Go to Washington, take care of business, and then go home and understand that their next three games after that are going to be whether they stay at the 9, be at the 10, or guarantee themselves at least one playoff win to advance. I've kind of accepted the fact that the only chance they'll have to get improved is by getting to either an 8 or a 7 seed. I just don't see them doing a 6, especially with the way Dallas is playing right now. Dallas right now is on a tear, and if Phoenix continues to play the way they're playing with Brandon Ingram down for New Orleans, I see Phoenix probably jumping New Orleans and New Orleans falling back down to 7 and Sacramento staying at the 8. That's if I had to predict without watching with my Laker hope glasses, I'm going to call them hope glasses. That's probably how this is going to play out. And now, oh, by the way, don't be surprised. I know that they've won 3 in a row, but don't be surprised if Dallas keeps winning and if LA, the Clippers lose a couple in a row, that they might not get jumped too. Just kind of watch out for that as well.
Yeah, because we're watching it tonight in the standings right now. You've got Thunder right now with a half game lead at the top of the Western Conference. Denver's a half game behind. Minnesota's a full game behind. Then you have the Clippers. They're the tough ones to figure out because they have not played well for quite some time, Joe, but they're managing to still be in fourth place. Then you've got Dallas, 2 games behind them. I don't know. That's going to be tough to make up with just 8 games left. Then you've got New Orleans. So they just passed up New Orleans. I think Dallas is probably, and I'll talk to Frank, and I think agrees with me, who is a resident Dallas fan. I think 5th is the most likely scenario for them, Joe. But I would watch out whoever plays them in the playoffs.
If LeBron shoots the way he was shooting last night, that's who people are going to be afraid of. LeBron is having one of his best 3-point shooting years of all of his career. Has he shot better than 40% before?
Who? LeBron?
Yeah.
From 3. Oh, yeah, in Miami. One of his years, like 2011 or 2012, he did shoot better than 40% in Miami, but he's never shot. He's now at, I think, 42% at this point in time after the 9-for-10. So, yeah, he is shooting better than many of the names like Curry, like Thompson. Yeah, he's shooting better than many of the 3-point artists. And I saw this back and forth between some people earlier today in regards to he doesn't shoot enough. What's he on, 6-7 attempts already a game? That's on a lot of attempts, Joe. This is not like he's just putting up 1 or 2 a game. He's putting up 6 to 7 to 8 attempts a game every game. So it's not like he isn't putting it up there too. So he is by far and away having the best shooting season of his career.
Well, you can always tell those who don't watch the games say things like that, right?
Yeah.
when you talk about something that you don't know anything about, you know, I always try to tell anyone who will listen, be careful what you say, because there might be somebody out there. And it's easy because most of the times they don't get called out. But more often than not, people say what they say thinking and are used to seeing no one respond to it because most people don't know anything either. I know it's kind of mundane, but sometimes I'll say movie lines and no one has a damn clue what I'm talking about. Absolutely no idea. And to me, if you're not understanding certain movies that are a part of our lexicon, you have no culture and you're useless to me. But that's just me being harsh. But if 5 attempts a game isn't enough for you, especially considering when you look at LeBron's attempts from 3 have in the last, well, since he's been a Laker, has been 6, 6, 6, 8, almost 7, 5. He's actually shot less, which there's some merit there, but maybe that's why he's shooting better. He's not shooting as many, and I think that's the right call. It's LeBron is best suited when he gets to the basket. LeBron's 2 points are not the same as 2 points from Max Christie. When LeBron gets to the basket and hits 2 points, there's a psychology tied to that. We've discussed this with Shaq back in the day, what Shaq used to do to players, and I say players as in plural, guys that were 6'10", ripped to shreds. He'd make 2-3 of them at a time look like children. Those 2 points weren't 2 points. There was a psychological effect that you could put 4-6 points sometimes psychologically. LeBron has that effect, maybe not to the dominance of Shaq, but it's pretty darn close. So I would prefer LeBron, I actually have liked the way LeBron has played this year. It's probably my favorite, other than the 2020 season, and even 2021 wasn't bad either. This is by far and away one of my favorite seasons with him, because he has actually tried to go to the basket on last last minute plays to get ahead or to win the games. He's been very aggressive since that Cam Reddish debacle. And if he's going to continue to make 42% from three and get to the basket, then how about we just let LeBron do what LeBron does? I think that's kind of where I stand on that.
Cool, bro. Intel said he's hammered right now. Intel Wild said he's hammered right now. He's totally hammered. It's not even a nightcap. And Cool Bro says, what's hammered? Did you drop a hammer, Intel? And it's like, okay. You got to get out there, my friend. You got to get out there, Cool Bro, and experience life as we know. He's 15, but man, I knew what hammered was when I was 15. I'm sorry. I'll just leave it at that. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell along with me, Joe Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching, listening. Intel, you just stay home, relax, chill out, watch Joe and I. Yes, just chill out, my friend. It's good. But it is, of course, the Lakers tomorrow night in Toronto. You said you're not worried about Toronto. You're not worried about Washington. You think that LeBron is probably going to sit out on the back end of the back-to-back, if anything, because he'll have 4 days off, if that's the case. Or actually,
I believe he, you know, he'd play tomorrow. I think we would have had
you'll have 3.5 days off because it's an afternoon game.
I'd say, because we're going to need him to play both those games, Cleveland and Minnesota, and if he's going to get a nice little break, I think that would be the game to give him a break. Toronto's a harder place to play in than Washington. So win the game in Toronto and then sit him for the Washington game. And until that Golden State game is over, let the results dictate whether he finishes the season playing in against Memphis and New Orleans, or if they look like they're going to be stuck in the ninth seed, then just sit AD and him for the remaining of the year, and now you let him go into the play-in with some juice.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
If you have a better movie in the can, why is that not the movie that you released in the first place?
I would say it's more culturally relevant than The Simpsons and Rick and Morty. Like, it has become a staple of American entertainment.
I think Dragon Age 4 is carrying the future of Bioware on its shoulders.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But when it comes right down to it, the Lakers, they need to get this done, Joe, because they still don't have ninth sewn up yet. I know that's not high aspirations, but I certainly don't want to go ahead and have the Lakers in both playing games be on the road. They need to at least be at home for one of these playing games. I mean, eighth is not out of the question, but considering the fact that they don't own the tiebreaker against Sacramento and that Phoenix keeps on winning, it's quite concerning that the Lakers may not be able to get it done for eighth.
No, but I don't I'm not going to sit here and worry about what hasn't been done. I mean, we do talk about it, but that's to explain our concerns when it did happen. And to let those who don't understand why we were adamant on these games early on and how important they were.
You don't punt these games when you're like...
There is no room to punt. Yeah, you can't punt in the NBA this year. If you want to punt, then go do what the Masai is doing or Ainge. Just continue to lose and live off your one championship that someone else handed to you. And then you can enjoy that fan base and that result. I would rather you come up lame, playing your butt off, than playing tiptoe here and there and then still losing. Because that's what's going to happen. No one punts games in my book and goes, oh, yeah, you know, we'll turn it on when we can. There's only one team that I ever saw turn it on. You all know who it is. I don't need to repeat it.
Okay.
And you can say some teams coast. Sure. But that's kind of a subjective thing, depending on how you want to look at it. You can say Denver coasted a little bit, but did they? They could still be in one seed. So did they really coast? No.
If Jamal Murray had been in the lineup the past few games, I know he's been in and out at best, but I know he's missed some games. They would clearly be the number one.
And the other thing is, too, is the Boston Celtics, if any team, should have coasted after being deep in the playoffs for four straight years. Actually, it might be five. Then they should have coasted. How come they haven't? Yeah, I know they're not LeBron at 39, but the Lakers are a young team after LeBron. So what about the other guys? So I'm not gonna sit here and hear that excuse. Darvin Ham and the Lakers put themselves in this position, so they're gonna have to eat it until they can't eat it anymore. That's it. I'm not gonna think about it anymore. I'm thinking about now. They're playing well now. You finish this road trip, which was difficult in terms of time and travel, you come out of it 5-1, you did your job. You did your job. Then you got to win, likely to have a shot at maybe the 8, 4 out of the next 5 when you get home. And that's how I'm looking at it.
Frank asks if we're amused by the fact that that Boston has lost to the Hawks twice. Boston, who won earlier this evening to go 59-16. I know that's it's kind of amusing, especially that game where they came back, Atlanta did, from 30 down. I think it's just a lack of focus. I think they suffer at times from a lack of focus. I mean, Frank, you got to remember, they lost to the Lakers without LeBron and AD at home. So they are very susceptible to losing focus, and that could be something that they need to concern themselves with during the playoffs. I mean, I don't think that they have as bad of a bench as Joe has said, because Sam Hauser has really come on as a three-point gunner for them. So they do have at least, I think, 6 or 7 deep as far as that roster is concerned. But, their lack of focus, those games that they actually punt, like the ones they did with the Lakers and the Hawks, that should leave some room for concern for people that it's not going to be easy peasy all the way through for Boston in the East, or if they go to the finals.
I think Boston suffers from, I don't know if it's lack of focus, just they're so perimeter dependent. If they play a team that can get hot from the perimeter and keep it up for 48 minutes, Boston tends to run into a problem. Or if they play a tough-minded team, a team like Miami. It's Boston. Jason Tatum is a very, very good player. Jaylen Brown is maybe a hair below Jason Tatum. But we hear the word great. We hear Supermax players. We hear all this. But the reality is they're not. Jason Tatum is a very, very good player. He's not an MVP. Jaylen Brown is a very good player. There, one less very. He's getting paid the Supermax. Porzingis is going to help them and has helped them be a better team, especially in the regular season, where I noticed during the Laker game, the second that guy got any business, any physical business, he kind of withered away. And if that guy doesn't change his tune come playoff time, he is going to, it's going to be a rude awakening for him. I don't know if it's going to happen in the East, but whoever goes out the West is going to give him a problem. Denver's likely going to be that team. And if Denver meets the Celtics in the finals, you are going to find out what another, you're going to see another 4 or 5 game series because of it. And my concern is not look, Celtics are doing their job. I use them as an example that they had a chance. They, if any team had a punting agenda, they should have probably had it, being that they've been going deep into the playoffs for the last 5 years, but they didn't. They've only lost 18 games all year. That's a pretty good feat. They're going to have the best record in the NBA. The Lakers, who have no business having any entitlement, thought that way due to the preservation of LeBron James, which I get that part, but at the same time, you need to make sure that your team understands that every game matters because, you know, they're young. They're 24, 26, 27, 28. I'd like to think that those bad teams that you played in December and January, you could probably at least win 3 out of those 5 games, maybe. At the very least, that changes your standings dramatically. But at this point, Lakers play Toronto tomorrow, Washington the next night. They win those 2 games. This is a better road trip than I thought it would be. I thought 4-2 was going to be a really good one. If they go 5-1, they did their job. Then they got to win 4 of the next 5 after that if they want to creep up beyond the 9. If they don't do that, let's say they win 3 out of the next 5 to finish the season, they're probably stuck at 9.
Who are they most likely to pass up if that's the case? If they do go, let's say
Sacramento. Sacramento? Yeah, I think Sacramento might have a lull because 2 of their really, really, really good shooters are going to be gone, and that's what they do. Phoenix, I think, will, because you have Durant, you have Booker, those are great players. I should say Booker's a very good player. Durant is a very good player now. He's not great right now.
Let me go look at their schedule for Sacramento. I mean, we've been talking about for days that Phoenix was the most likely candidate because of how bad or how tough their schedule is going to be. And it, you know, looks like that they're getting through it as best they can because Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are putting the team on their back. So for Sacramento, Tuesday, they have their at home to the Clippers. Then they go on a road trip, Joe, at New York, at Boston, at Brooklyn, at Oklahoma City. So 3 of those 4 teams right there as far as in the playoff mix. Then they host New Orleans, Phoenix, and close out the season at Portland. So I could probably see them, what, in the 4-4? So probably 4-4 for them, 3-5 maybe if we're lucky.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I didn't think Dallas was going to go up. Honestly, I didn't think Dallas was going to go up to 5, but that's what happens when you win 7 in a row.
Yeah, I think 4 is out of reach. I think this late in the game, but I do think that that they should hold on to 5 because they have so much momentum. They're playing really well. I give them all the credit of the world. Frank, you know, your GM, you know, made the right moves getting Gafford. I know that Laker Tom here is just beside himself with anger why the Lakers didn't get Daniel Gafford. So, but we'll see what happens. But it has to pay off because you guys gave up a lot. An unprotected first. I forget the year, Frank. But, yeah, they gave up a lot, and they're banking on the next 2 years for it to happen for Luka.
I want to answer Reggae Joe's question. Are we happy with this tankathon style league? The problem with the NBA is there's a limited amount of great players.
By the way, good to have you back, Reggae Joe. I hadn't seen you in a while.
It's just very difficult to be a middle-tier team in the NBA. You don't go anywhere. So you have to really stink or be a free agent destination. What team besides the Lakers are usually a good free agent destination? Where a free agent leaves and goes to that team and instantly gives them this next level rep. Let's look at, I'm gonna go, where should I start here? Let's just say Shaq from 96. That's the first big one I remember. You have Shaq going to LA from Orlando. And then we go after that. Who actually, what big free agent, star free agent goes from one team to another and instantly makes them the next level team? So you got Shaq in 96. I'm thinking about 97, 96. Lonzo leaves the Hornets to go to Miami. That was, I think, another one. Nash goes from Dallas to Phoenix. It's not a lot. It's never a lot. LeBron goes to LA in 2018. And then, of course, you have the Heat, which technically was a trade in 2011. Or I should say 2010. Very, very few times, very few areas usually get them. Now, here's the common thing in those three teams. I mentioned Steve Nash goes to Phoenix, Shaq goes to LA, LeBron goes to LA, LeBron and Bosch go from Toronto, Cleveland to Miami. What do those three cities have in common?
Between Sacramento.
What's Sacramento? They went to Sacramento? Did you say
the Kings? No, sorry.
Phoenix, LA, Miami.
Oh, Phoenix, LA, and Miami. Okay.
No one retires in LA, Frank. This place is a disaster. If I had said the Vegas, yeah, which we don't have Vegas. They're all warm cities. Come on, guys. Wake up. Is it that late?
It's the climate.
Yes. No one goes to Minnesota from LA, Miami, unless they have to. And usually they're not great players.
They're now heading to Texas teams on occasion just to save on the tax. You'll start seeing some more people.
That's more of a baseball thing than an NBA thing.
Well, it'll change now that Wembanyama's in San Antonio.
Why?
Because I'm sure players will go to San Antonio.
I've been noticing this. The San Antonio Spurs, after all that winning, have embraced losing, and they continue to lose. No one's going to San Antonio.
Okay.
They're going to have to bring somebody over there. They're going to have to shit the bed and get a draft pick like they have been with Tim Duncan, Robinson, and now Wembanyama, and then get lucky and draft. I shouldn't say get lucky. At that time, they were ahead of the curve. Get Tony Parker late in the first round and then get Manu Ginobili in the second round.
Would have been nice if the Lakers would have done that this season, get two effective players that could help them out in the rotation. Would have been nice.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Unfortunately, I don't know what they were doing. I don't know. I didn't just pick the best player available.
So let me ask you this. One of the things that we also took away from yesterday's game was the fact that the starting lineup scored all but 2 points for the entire team. The bench, Gabe Vincent, gave us the only 2 points.
Yeah, I remember it was a bank shot that barely went in.
Exactly. So I ask you, my friend, are you concerned about what the Lakers made?
I've been concerned about the bench for a while.
You think that the Lakers should do something about it?
No.
Like putting Austin Reeves or Rui to the bench?
No. You don't have anyone on the bench that can start. That's the problem. You're going to have to roll with the starting five to wherever you can go. I'm sorry, but that's not going to work. Gabe Vincent is not going to be much this year. He'll be useless. Jackson Hayes is probably their best bench player, if you can imagine that.
It's telling me a lot.
Spencer Dinwiddie could make an appearance in an important game, sure. Torian Prince hasn't played bad, but his is a mix of really good to really bad. So, and it's going to get worse in the playoffs.
LeBron to the bench for another Gerald hot take. Well, I didn't say LeBron to the bench, but okay. Mr. Kurt, we will talk about you here in a second before we leave as far as the March Madness is concerned. But before we head on out, my friend, do want to go ahead and chat, because I have concerns over this what we're going to do, because this bench is absolutely anemic. This right now, do you think it's the worst bench in the NBA?
Yes.
I'd probably say Charlotte gives them a run for the money, but yeah, I could say
no. It's worse than LA because it's LA versus Charlotte. Charlotte's just a terrible team, so I don't really consider bench or starters worth anything. But the bench, in terms of value, absolutely terrible. One of probably the worst bench I've ever seen a Laker team have. Even their bad teams had bench scorers that could score. This team has none. It's one of the worst constructed teams I could think of when the season started to really progress. I'm just like, wow, these guys really screwed up not getting the right guy this summer for the mid-level exception and not getting at least one draft pick that could be worth a damn, because that would have made a difference.
I think Darren's missing the point. This bench has been bad for quite some time, Darren. You're just saying it's one game, Darren. It's a series of games. This bench is bad. There's just no one that you can turn to that's reliable. I mean, we all talked about Torian Prince all season long, how it was a missed opportunity for him to keep on starting him and how bad he was. Gabe Vincent, you know, he's been gone for months. What do you really can't expect anything from him. Jackson Hayes is a rim protector that doesn't protect the rim. He's absolutely horrible on defense, and all they can do is roll to the basket. You know, Dinwiddie can play a little D, but, you know, his shot leaves him at every opportunity it can. There's absolutely nothing on the bench that's reliable, Joe, and that is part of the problem.
So when you factor in everybody's favorite analytic, net rating, the Lakers are the worst, have the worst bench that's still in a play-in. After 75 games, they're the worst. Everyone above them is a non-playoff team. Charlotte is the worst bench, by the way, by net rating. And then it's Washington, Memphis, Portland, Toronto, Detroit, San Antonio, Utah, then the Lakers. Surprisingly, you know who the next one is?
I'm going to guess the Clippers.
Denver.
Wow. That's not too surprising. Remember Magic Man saying at the beginning of the season that the Denver bench, don't underestimate them, whatnot. And him and I had a little bit back and forth, and they're like the Lakers. They're very front loaded in that starting lineup, Joe.
Yes. It's it's interesting. It's interesting how this is playing out. I'm not seeing Boston anywhere here. How's the stat work here?
Reggae Joe, again, when it comes to the Knicks, OG Anunoby and also as well Randall have both been out for quite a spell. Randall probably isn't coming back with that shoulder separation. OG may come back. There's been speculation on both for and against that, if he's coming back or not. If you don't get those guys back, if you're a Knicks fan, I think you could just say you're going to be one series and done at best. Jalen Brunson can only take you so far with the whole team on his back. We saw he scored 61 points and they still lost to the Spurs. That's right. You're OKC. That's right. You're OKC. Well, you're sitting high on top. So right now you got to go ahead and hold that number one position if you're OKC. So credit, you got that win, I believe, at MSG here the other night. So with the Knicks, yeah, it's going to be tough, Joe. I mean,
well, we're gonna be cheering for the Oklahoma City Thunder to get that one seed.
Yeah,
because the Lakers are likely going to get the 8th seed if they make it through the gauntlet.
And I think they match up very well against OKC.
They do match up very well. They'll have a shot, maybe, facing Denver if they were to make a miracle and beat Oklahoma City and Minnesota in the first two rounds, then face Denver with maybe a more tired Denver team. I don't know. There could be miracles there, but you're asking a lot. You're asking from travel to home court disadvantage. It's a taxing, especially considering they don't have any help on the bench.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, guys. I would say if I had to give an answer, the Lakers are more likely to not make it to the playoffs than make it all the way through. And I think that's kind of an obvious thing.
And then also, even if Vanderbilt comes back, because I know that's been much talked about, maybe as early as next week, we'll see. But Vanderbilt doesn't help you in the spot you need coming off the bench and scoring. You need scoring off the bench. There's literally no one who can give you consistent scoring right now off the bench. That's part of the deal right there.
Yeah, everybody talking about Trae Young. That's how bored everybody is. I don't know what the remedy is. In order to build a team that has everything in this day and age, it's probably not realistic anymore. Even the Denver Nuggets don't have any depth. You have to get good players that you weren't thinking were going to be good in the draft come up. That's the only way you can get lucky there. Or you get someone for the mid-level exception that plays out of their mind.
Now, the Lakers and Denver, you'd think on the surface, if you look at it on paper, they're kind of similarly built. Their benches are very suspect, but they both have, they don't have a big three. They have a big, each has a big two, but a quality starting lineup that they throw out there. They're very similarly built. So the question I ask you, in fact, I don't really want to go into it. We're going to go into it when the season ends. But, you know, you hear the talk already about Trae Young and getting a third guy. Is that really what you want to do, is spending on third? Like Kurt says, you think it's thin now? Get Trae Young and see how much thinner it really gets.
You can't lose all three of your starters for Trae Young. You're probably going to have to sacrifice two, but I would make sure it's not Rui Hachimura. Now, I was saying earlier, Rui would be the guy, but I'm seeing Rui improve in ways that I'm starting to believe that this guy can get better, and he's exactly what they want. His feel for the game is getting better. His positioning is getting better. His dives to the basket, he's starting to understand how to play. He can shoot. He's got a wide base. He's cerebral. He's a good teammate. So if you're going to trade for Trae Young, try to take away a little bit of the deficiencies you've had because of the players that, as much as I love Austin Reeves and D'Angelo, they suffer on the defensive end. If you're going to use anybody, use those two guys as tools to get Trae Young. And I don't know how many draft picks you're going to throw in there. Hopefully not a lot. And make sure that you fill those roles with guys that are scrappers and can play defense and can hit shots. Can you do that? It's going to be difficult. If you don't, then you have to stay. I think you need to – we have to wait to see how the season ends. If they don't make it out of the play-in, you have a lottery pick. And if New Orleans doesn't do a swap, that means you have a high pick to get a young player. Granted, I know that the draft is weak this year, but maybe you might get lucky and get a guy that actually contributes next year at that pick. Then you sign someone in the offseason who actually will contribute instead of getting rejects from Miami. I would say you package Gabe Vincent and Jared Vanderbilt for some really good, high-paid bench guy whom wants to leave wherever he's at, or a team wants to get rid of the salary, that big of a salary. I'd say that would be your best course of action. Keep the team intact, replenish through the draft if you do have your first round pick, and then try to see if you can get someone really, really effective at the MLE, and then trade your small contracts that are tradable for someone, another player who could contribute off the bench. Then right now, then here's how this changes. You bring everybody back, then you have three players that if you get them right, that are going to impact the rotation in a good way. And maybe you might get a veteran that wants to win on top of that. I mean, there's a way to do it. It's just it's one of those things where if you do it right, you're a genius. You don't do it right, you're not. That's how that works. But I'd keep the continuity, to be honest with you. My instinct is now tell me to keep the continuity. Keep re-sign D'Angelo Russell. Keep Austin Reeves. Yeah, well, he's already signed. Rui's signed. Keep the continuity. Because we've been through this already.
I want to go ahead and give a big shout out again to Reggae Joe. Great to have you back, my friend. He was asking us about our thoughts, and thank you so much again for the super chat. Truly appreciate it, about the Detroit Pistons. I know it's a little bit off the beaten path for a team that's destined for seemingly nowhere anytime soon. He likes Cade and Duren. I like Duren. I'm still not sold on Cade yet. You'll forgive me, because I thought his stroke would be a lot better sooner than it has. I mean, you just see flashes and glimpses. I'm not sure he's a number one, Reggae, for a decent team or a good team going forward. Again, I would probably give him another year to develop to figure that one out. But your thoughts on the Detroit Pistons, my friend?
I don't like anything in Detroit.
Not Duren or Cunningham?
I don't like anyone. Fournier, I don't like Weissman, I don't like Cunningham, I don't like Thompson. I don't like that team. I don't like that atmosphere. I was born in Detroit. I was born in the suburb of Detroit, Royal Oak. I have ties there. Didn't grow up there, but I have ties there. But there's nothing there. There's nothing there, and I don't know when there will be. You'd have to draft an Isaiah Thomas like they did in 1981. For that to change, you have to find a franchise shifting player, a Wembanyama, a Anthony Edwards, although I'm still up in the air on him, but he would definitely help if he was in Detroit. And that's it. Detroit Detroit, when they were good, just put together a bunch of rejects that ended up being great. That's what they did.
I think Frank and Reggae Joe, to answer your question, really, Frank answered it for you. I think that's
Detroit. Think about it. Detroit, during their run between, what was it, 03 to 06? That run with Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton. I think their main guy was Tayshaun Prince. That was the one guy they did draft.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace was a wizard, bullet, whatever. Rip was a wizard. Chauncey went to four teams before he settled down in Detroit. Even those teams weren't really built through the draft. The Pistons haven't built anything through the draft since the 80s, when they drafted Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Rodman, John Sally. They picked up Blandbeer from Cleveland during that time. Mahorn they got from the Bullets at that point, 76ers, whichever team he was on. So they did draft Joe Dumars too. So that's it. That's the last time Detroit kind of ran a coherent operation drafting the right guys. Right now, they can't draft for shit. And no one's going to Detroit. Darko Milicic was the Babe Ruth being traded to New York in a lot of ways.
World champion Darko Milicic.
Joe Dumars overthought. Folks, let this be a lesson. That's what happens when you overthink. When you think that you know something that no one else knows. If Detroit had just picked Carmelo Anthony, Carmelo Anthony was going to be a Hall of Famer no matter what. You don't say no to that. Not for some guy named Darko out of nowhere.
Jeremy,
you win in 05 if you draft Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah,
of course. You win back-to-back championships.
I agree. That I agree, because Melo was exactly coming out. Syracuse, national champion, absolutely.
Jim Boeheim, you want to, you know, my thing is I'm going to talk to that one guy that's going to know who Carmelo is. Look, he just won a national title for Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim, one of the more stubborn head coaches that's ever lived. He's lost many, many tournament games because of his stubbornness. He wasn't stubborn when it came to Carmelo Anthony. That 1 year and he won a championship. It's only stubborn when you don't win. If you win, then you're smart, right?
Yes. I do want to ask you something that our good friend in Australia, I believe, Jeremy, he just caught on to the show. He just got back into the show. Just checking in a little bit late, but he wanted to ask
you. Jeremy's a very good friend. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy's always saying good things.
He is. Yes, absolutely. He was asking about Gabe's return, your thoughts. I mean, rusty as heck. His only shot that he did make, the only 2 points for the bench, was pretty much a luck shot on a bank facing him. So, yeah, it was pretty much an overshot that he actually lucked into a bank on that one. But what were we expecting? My God, he's been gone for so long.
It's hard to test him. He did play good defense, at least. That's what happens when you suffer on offense. You make up for it on the defensive end. But you're playing, you know, you're playing Brooklyn. I don't know if you can use that as a prize. We're going to have to see him progress. I'll tell you what, though. If he's not going to play well on offense, at least a little bit, like maybe just below average, but plays good defense, then he has value. That's all we can ask for. This is too much time passed, guys. It's very hard to be in NBA shape when you've been gone the whole year.
One thing I noticed, though, there was a play heading out of bounds. The ball went out of bounds near him. And he doubled over like he was going to fall over, and he tried to stop himself, but it took him like a few seconds to straighten himself up. Like he was checking everything, you know, like you're coming back from an injury and you're just like, okay, what did my body just do? I'm going to check it now. Okay. All right. Everything looks good. He did say that him being held out tomorrow's game is not anything to be concerned about, that it's just a precautionary move for him to be available in Washington.
No comment.
I'm just telling you, that's what because he's not playing tomorrow, so.
I'm not a precautionary for what? What precaution for what?
I'm just telling you what was quoted and what was said. It was precautionary, so. Max Christie, that's why. He just.
Ray Gay, Max Christie, he tries. He tries. He really does. And this is another one where I got some flack even on Lakers Ball for this from one of my favorite posters. Max Christie's not an NBA player, folks. If he goes to Europe, he'll have a career for the next 12 years.
That was where I disagree. I think he'll latch on to another team.
He won't.
If he is, well, the Lakers are going to pick up his contract because he's got a 2.3 they have to tender just a $2.3 million if they want to tender him.
He's just a step too slow in this league.
And it's 3 years, $33 million for Gabe Vincent, just to let everyone know out there. Yeah.
It's a tradable contract if you
find the right sucker. I mean team.
If a team wants to unload on a good player because of his contract, the Lakers can package him and Vanderbilt and some draft capital, maybe a couple of second rounds, whatever, just to get somebody that can actually be worth a damn. That's how I would look at that. You're looking at $25 million, right?
Yeah.
$25 million between the two. That's going to be the big one for me. What can you do? What can you do turning those two things into something good? I'm sorry. Vanderbilt's making 10 and 21 million, almost $22 million worth of contracts. Can you find someone for that kind of money out there that would be an integral part of the rotation, someone you can depend on? That's going to be something I'm going to be waiting to look at.
It is going to be something we're going to be looking at. I do want to mention it was two hot dogs, like I mentioned during the stream, topped off with mustard, cilantro, and onions. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew what I was eating during the stream because Xbox was asking. But what are we going to do tomorrow? We'll find out, but it's going to be another great stream. We'll have it for you. It is Toronto facing off against the Lakers. Joe, 13 losses in a row. Then after that, 14 winning games by the Washington Wizards. There is no reason why the Lakers should go ahead and lose either of these two games back to back. I know it's tough. I know it's the end of the road trip. I know teams have a tendency to look like how flat the Lakers looked on Friday against Indiana, but the Lakers know what's at stake. They understand what's at stake. And I understand that LeBron had his, we got to think about safety first and health first before seeding, blah, 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 blah. We heard that all heading into the, you know, as far as this road trip is concerned. But my friend, it's about to get real. And the Lakers have to finish off these easy games while they have them.
Yeah, playing it safe. When does playing it safe ever work for anyone?
Not really anytime. But now you know why Jamie Sweet said the Lakers are going to lose both those games on Tuesday.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
Way to lose both those games is if somebody gets hurt and it messes them up mentally. I don't know why you would say that. That's actually out of character for Jamie. That doesn't make any sense.
He's Admiral Akbar. He always lays out the trap for the Lakers.
Is that what it is? It's a trap?
Yes, Admiral Akbar. Okay. It's a trap. So yeah, that's what he does. Who hurt Jamie for that take? It's on last night's show, Kurt, but that was him. I was surprised. Even myself, who's quite often called a realist, pessimist, what have you, I think the Lakers can go easily both those games if they want to. If they force their will, like we saw them do against Brooklyn, Joe, going off to a 17-0 lead, I really think that they are going to be pretty good. And by the way, it's right here. It's right here. There you go. But where's my man, John Costa? He is not going to be available. He is actually going to, I think, the Warriors game. I think he mentioned he's going to be at the Warriors game tomorrow. So he will not be here for the post-game tomorrow night. So he got tickets for it. Somebody got him some tickets, so yeah, he decided he's gonna go. So there you go. It's either go to the Golden State game, I guess, for a live game in person, or go to watch the Lakers play against a team that's lost 13 times in a row, Joe, like we are tomorrow.
I'm ready for it.
Yep. Frankie, I believe it's against the Mavs, so that's why I think he took it. When he got offered to him. So what are you gonna do?
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
truly appreciate you joining us. But before we head on out, I do want to thank Joe, as always, for stopping by. And I know it irritates him highly when I do, but I'm going to do it anyways. I do want to give everybody a wonderful update. Kurt, you should be very interested in hearing about this because it is time. I'm going to scroll up here to go ahead and check out our men's tournament challenge standing. So I'm going to go ahead and see what we can do to share that out there for everyone. So we're going to go ahead and take a look right now on screen. I've got it coming up right for you now, right there for you. And who do you know is in first place, but Kurt's failed picks, Joe. Get this. Well, that's not the surprising part. The most surprising part is that he's 94.4% as far as in the top 6% of picks of all the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of brackets that were made for ESPN's bracket challenge. He is in the top 6%. And whoever is the Statman 1's picks is not too far behind. So, and they both pick Connecticut like I did, but you look at me down here, everybody else has got, they're eliminated because they picked Houston or North Carolina. Except for me, my picks have been bad, Joe, but at least I picked Connecticut to win it all. So,
look, it's looking like it's going to happen, too.
Yeah.
Unless NC State pulls off a miracle like they did in 83.
Okay. Kurt is trying to stay low-key. Kurt says the moral of the story, kids, is don't believe in yourself. Again, Kurt, you're not quite in the money. But my God, man, you picked I think the NC State, I think threw everybody off. I think that's what, I think everybody was thinking there. So yeah, he's doing good. I'm going to show everybody Kurt's picks right there. Look at that. So yeah, he's doing pretty good. 94%. So he's got right there, NC State, Purdue, UConn, Alabama. So, wow. Congratulations, Kurt. Doing well, my friend. Again, you and I both have Connecticut, although my picks are way farther off than yours. So congratulations on that. Just give everybody an update. And of course, when it finishes off, I will give everyone a full update on if Kurt or whoever's in second place, the Statman's ones picks, win the inaugural Lakers Fast Break Tournament Challenge. Actually, I think we did one last year. So the second annual Lakers Fast Break Tournament Challenge. So we'll see what happens. Cool Bro says, what if I did the March Madness thing and got everything right? Well, I think there is a monetary prize for the top one. No one has ever gotten it all right, Cool Bro. No one. There's been some people that have gotten close. You see Kurt, he's in the top 6%, but even he didn't get everything right. To get every game right is almost theoretically impossible, Cool Bro. But you keep at it. You keep at it. When you're 18, you sign up and you can play. Absolutely. Sounds good. Yes. All right. But Joe, I appreciate you stopping by. As always, my friend, tomorrow, what's your status like for tomorrow? You got a nightcap on store for tomorrow?
Got a lot going on tomorrow, but I'll try to chime in.
Okay. All right. Because they missed out on the nightcap. I had Joshua Dietz asking for, where's the nightcap? And I said, we had no nightcap on the post game. He's like, still.
Sorry, folks. Yesterday was Jesus Day. I was not home last night, so.
He's celebrating his Easter, and I got to respect that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, still a great time. Glad thank you so much that Laker Nick and Jamie Sweet were able to stop on by. Dante, I'm glad you're here, Dante. Joe, Dante was at the game. He sent us sent me some little movies. I'm gonna send it over to the rest of the crew, but they were really cool to see the shots of you, Dante. I am truly blessed, and thank you so much for sending us those clips. Dante, please let us know how wonderful it was an experience to be at last night's game, because he is it was just so awesome to get vintage LeBron. 9 of 10 from three, Joe. 9 of 10 from three. And I bet Dante was the happiest guy in that whole arena.
It's a beautiful arena. And LeBron went into that zone that very few people ever go into, and he didn't go away. It was nice.
Dante, congratulations on the
one of the things that you do appreciate is watching a great player do his great things.
That's and one do thing it on the road too.
That's one thing that you can't deny is if there's anything, we're fortunate that we did at least get a championship with LeBron on the team, so that there's never going to be a true negative with LeBron, obviously, here. He won a championship for LA, put a banner up there. And we've seen great games. We've seen them at least compete versus what they were before he was there. So in the end, it'll be a happy era. I just wish we would have gotten at least one more.
I agree with you on that. Dante says Braun wasn't missing the floor. Yeah, 9 out of 10. Tell me about it. The floor isn't that bad like it is on TV. Oh, that's good. That's good. Robert Wheeler says, Joe, do you think LeBron realizes that the Lakers have a real chance to win the title by his elevated level of play this late in the season? Or what do you attribute to his?
I don't know where LeBron's head is.
He has said that the fact that he's available for more shooter rounds and practice so he can work on his stroke is probably one of the main reasons why he's found such a good rhythm.
My issue with LeBron right now is, why is he doing a podcast during right now? He should be focused on the game, right?
Yeah.
Why are we hearing about his retirement? Why are we hearing about some podcast? I don't want to shut down the show, but these are the little things, folks, that distract you.
Well, the thing is, I want to ask you this because, you know, I see in the comments, I'm going to update the comments here probably later tonight. I'm going to go ahead and go through the comments, and I'm sure I'm going to find a lot of Joe is a LeBron hater, Joe's LeBron stan, Joe's a LeBron hater, because of the comments that you made regarding his court awareness and his intelligence the other day. I know this, that you're pretty rough him on and then. So a lot of the people are going to say, oh, you're a LeBron hater. I don't think you're a LeBron. I think you're a LeBron realist. When you say what he is at this specific time in his career, as opposed to what he was or once was at an earlier point in time in the career.
I think it has more to do with the rhetoric. I don't like the words genius, high IQ. I don't like stuff like that when I'm not seeing it. That's my gripe with it. Stop telling me somebody's a genius when I see things that don't use the word genius. It's like great, goat. People have destroyed the word, the greatest of all time. Absolutely destroyed that word. There's no point in talking about anything anymore when you use that stupid line for the dumbest things and the dumbest players.
Smart move, Xbox.
You cheapen the word.
Yeah.
It's like begging, oh, he should be this. Who should what? Especially the Hall of Fame thing always cracks me up. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm like, what do you mean he should be? If you have to ask, he isn't or she isn't. What does this should business mean? Should LeBron be a genius because LeBron says it, because you think he is? What does that mean? He's not a genius. He's a freaking great basketball player. He's a great basketball player who has a physique that only a handful of people have ever had in sports history. Very few. Sometimes you get lucky.
Who do you compare LeBron's physique to?
No one.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head with that kind of skill.
You will not see. I don't think you'll ever see a 6'8", 250, 260-pound basketball player that can run like a deer.
Woolridge wasn't, I mean, Woolworth is the closest to me as far as physique, but still, he didn't have on the weight. He didn't have the sheer.
I think Len Bias had LeBron's physique had he stayed alive.
Okay.
I think Len Bias had that width.
You would have thought he would have gotten that frame, that type of frame.
Oof. But he would have not. He wouldn't have been as fast. LeBron's speed. LeBron is. If you look at LeBron when he was in Miami, the way he'd get from the elbow on one side to the next elbow, it's not Giannis. Like Giannis takes four steps and he's all the way through the thing. It's different. There's a speed that LeBron has that a player that size should not have. And then on top of that, his vertical was always, was cheekbone to rim.
And the thing was, he was what around Miami time, let's say what 280 at that time.
I don't know if he was 280. I think 260 is probably safe because he doesn't have big legs.
What do you think he is now?
He's got fairly good legs for an NBA player, but he's not. He doesn't have big legs like Yao Ming did, or even Shaq didn't have big legs. Mm-hmm.
What do you think he goes right now? 250?
I think he's lost a lot of muscle from last year. I'd say he's probably sitting at 240 to 250, yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
People don't realize this. Weight is very, very deceiving. Most people weigh a lot more than they say they do. I don't look like I weigh 280 pounds when you look at me. People say, oh, maybe you're about 240, 250. I'm like, nope, I'm 280. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I believe I do have heavy bones too. I try not to say that a lot because usually fat people say that. To justify why they're fat. No, I think there are some people that have more dense bones. I believe I'm one of them. LeBron doesn't have really any fat on him. He has no fat on him. And he is not overly built like a Karl Malone. Karl Malone had muscle. But then you saw him stand next to Diamond Dallas Page, who is considered not too big in the wrestling world, right? And Diamond tall. Dallas Page was bigger than him.
Yeah. He's about 6'5", Diamond Dallas Page.
So yeah. Diamond Dallas Page, when he stood next to a 6'6", 6'7", Karl Malone, looked bigger than Karl Malone. Karl Malone looks huge in the NBA at that time. So LeBron, I think at his peak would probably be 260.
Okay. All right. Kurt. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember those days with DDP and Kimberly, absolutely. But it is the Lakers fast break. Truly, yes. Self high five, absolutely. Diamond cutter. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. What about Zion's physique, Frank says? He's a lot thinner. He is substantially thinner than this time last summer.
Zion's explosiveness is...
It's playing Shaq well like, now.
It's Shaq like the first 4 years in the NBA.
Yeah.
If he dedicated himself, my God, he would be a monster. He would be a monster. He is no 300-pound man should be able to dunk from the free throw line. That is just not that is not fair. I was saying how you'll never see a player like LeBron. I'm not saying we couldn't see a 6'8", 260 play like him with his speed. That's probably coming in the future because we always advance, right? I'm talking about his career, too, altogether. You're not going to likely see that again, all of it.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely see. But Zion, again, he's got to stay healthy. He has proven that this year he can be healthy, but we'll see. Again, if he can consistently do that for the New Orleans Pelicans, it'll be interesting in the final days. Whether or not they are thinking or leaning into the direction of picking up that draft pick sooner rather than later, because obviously it will weigh into what the Lakers are going to do going forward. But it is, of course, the Lakers Fast Break. Gerald Glassford, thanks so much again for watching and listening. 1,500 subs. Yes, Joe has announced it right there. Congratulations to Joe and everybody else on the team. Congratulations to you out there for being part of what we're doing. Thank you again for everyone out there, what we're doing. 1,500 subscribers on YouTube. So we truly appreciate you doing that. It's another milestone for us here, looking to see. Now we get to 2,000. Let's get to 2,000. Let's see if we could do something special then. Let's see if we can do maybe do a giveaway. I don't know. Giveaway.
Completely organic. Not 1 cent spent on any fake subs, marketing, nothing. And yeah.
Absolutely. It's
pretty damn good.
Xbox says he was mashing the party button, so let's go. Absolutely. Just truly appreciate everyone out there being a part of what we're doing. 1,500 subscribers. It is greatly appreciated. Our next goal is 2,000, and then on the way to getting to 100K, it will be after that. So can you give away a jersey or a hat? You know what? Cool, bro. At 2,000. If we get to 2,000, we'll go ahead, Joe. How about that? Give away something. Give away a hat or a jersey or a shirt. I think we could do that. Go ahead and do that indeed. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. Get us to 2,000, everyone. 2,000 subscribers. Get us to 10,000 followers on Facebook, if you can. We're still quite a ways away there. But my God, we had 5,000 people, Joe, watch the last stream on Facebook. Absolutely amazing. So everybody can stop on by.
Facebook is making a comeback, folks. Facebook seems to be the place to be for the Lakers Fast Break podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
They dislike us commentating during the games. Maybe I should go back to my color days. It's my 1 year color days when I was doing community college football.
Cool, bro. I would love to get 100K, because then again, you know, people talk about, can you make a living going off YouTube? You can't do it at 1,500, 2,000, but we were talking about the other day, and I was looking at other Lakers channels that are out there that have, you know, some leeway in there. And I think 20,000 subscribers is where you can start looking at possibly being something. But I would love to get to the point where we could go ahead and everybody that's a part of what we're doing, all the panelists that you see, will get rewarded for their time spent on here. So I would love to go ahead and do that. That would be the greatest thing I could do for all of us here, is reward the people who helped us get here. It's not just a me thing. It's not just a Joe thing. It's everyone that takes the time out of their day to stop on by and share their thoughts on the Lakers. So that would be the greatest thing we could do for our fans out there and followers of the Lakers Fast Break.
Prove Gerald family members wrong. Not his immediate family, but those in and around the circle.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell everyone I meet and know that, cool, bro, if you can, please, there's got to be, hopefully, if we could duplicate you out there, cool, bro, and get everybody to tell everybody about the Lakers Fast Break. We're trying hard on social media. We're trying hard out there each and every time. We try to provide content virtually every day. We try to provide you different looks, something that not all these Lakers channels do, Joe. It's usually the same individual each and every day. We try to mix it up with the Lakerholics, John Costa, L. Rob stops by, Stone Hansen. We try to give you a whole bunch of good looks. Laker Nick, you know, Henry Hill from Courtside Lakers. So many great people. You know, we all always try to bring in guests. We try to mix it up, Joe, and I think that's what makes this channel work so well.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't know.
Sometimes?
You just don't know what you need when you need it.
I know a lot of people need Joe, and boy, do I hear it all the time. And then there's a lot of people who don't need Joe when I see it in the comments as well.
And that's where you want to be. You want to be in the middle, right?
And yeah, well, as long as they go ahead, they say they hate your guts, but then come back to say more comments that they hate your guts. That's fine. At least they're coming back. That's the ones I like. Yeah, it's the ones I like. It's like, I hate effing Joe, Joe's FFF, Joe, F this Joe. And then it's like, I'll see them the next week in the comments. I hate Joe. I hate Joe. Why did he say that? Joe's an effing idiot. Da, la, 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 la. It's like, okay. Well, at least you came back.
It's like the video game world. You notice that I was reading today old players versus new players. A popular influencer, his name is, what was his name? Maximilian. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me that no matter what game it is, no matter what genre, doesn't matter what it is, you go into the comments, ah, this sucks. Oh, this is this. Oh, this is that. It's like, you know what? You all live disgusting lives. You should just go away forever. You live in misery, and you just want to project your misery everywhere. So there's a difference between you and I. You comment because you feel like you need to be heard. I comment because I see something and I comment on it. After I get off air, I don't give two shits about any of it. I go, I pop a movie, watch the game the second time.
He checks on out. Game.
I check out, folks. Balance. Balance your life. Now, I know some of you get stuck with bad parents, bad friends, bad neighborhoods, whatever. I know that that plays a part in all that, but you're not going to make your life any better because of it, though. If you're going to use that as an excuse, I'm just saying. It doesn't matter. In the end, what do you want to do to better yourself? Oh, I know. Go online and tell somebody they suck. Okay.
Cool Bro says he quotes Joe's wise words to his friends daily.
Probably not. I don't believe that.
If you quote it to your teacher, you'll be out of school real quick. Real quick.
It's not my line. Balance is why the world stays the way it does. It's just common sense. But as far as,
yeah, if he went up to his teacher,
and this is something that's important. I'm not affected by nonsense. I eliminate nonsense, right? But it does affect a lot of people out there. You can't say anything without somebody taking it out of context. My buddy hit me up today. He goes, Jason Sudeikis is doing a Taco Bell commercial. I saw Idris Elba doing a bookings.com commercial a few years ago. These are great actors. These are great performers. They're doing commercials. You know why? You know why Jason Sudeikis is doing a Taco Bell commercial? Because the industry is not letting him do the comedy that's funny, because somebody's going to get offended or somebody's going to get hurt. Oh my God, what are they going to do? He said white instead of magenta. What did he mean by that? Folks, it's time to tell those people to eat a giant sausage. Start doing it now. Seriously. If people are going to get offended when you're not trying, then just do it. Just go all the way. If you don't think it works, look at Chappelle, look at Dana White. They do it, and their careers just keep going up and up because there's a crowd out there that will support you. Those who won't support you, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go away, going to pop like a balloon, and they go find someone else that they can manipulate. So just remember that. That's my John Handy quote for the night.
Cool Bro, don't walk up to your teacher and want to announce their divorce. That's not good. That would not work out well for you.
A lot of that going on around right now, or is it just me?
It's probably just you. But it is the Lakers fast break. No, it is Joseph. Yeah, I can see Cool Bro shouting up at his history teacher. Announce my can I announce your divorce? Can I announce your divorce? Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that, Cool Bro. You want to stay in school. Get an education. Don't get kicked out because you quoted Joe lines everywhere. Or go, when you see an F coming up back on a test, you should say, don't say to your teacher, I'm in the results business. Don't.
That's actually not a bad one.
If you get an A, then you should be in the results business.
Your teacher might call you up on it, right? Well, if you're in the results business, why'd you get a C+ on your test?
Yeah. And on that note, it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. Don't forget the game tomorrow. The team is in Toronto. They're facing off against the hapless, and I mean hapless, Toronto Raptors, who have lost 13 games in a row. Absolutely no excuses for the Lakers tomorrow. With or without LeBron, with or without AD, there's just absolutely no excuses for them not to get the victory. And then after that, they play a 14-win Washington Wizards, who will already have played a game against Milwaukee the day before. So they're on a back-to-back as well. So tomorrow, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, it'll be the Toronto Raptors against the Los Angeles Lakers. Looking forward to going ahead and bringing you all the coverage as only we can on playback.tv/LakersFastBreak, and also as well, YouTube and Facebook as well. Yes, Joe?
So the San Antonio Spurs won, what was it, 22 games last year?
I believe so, or around thereabouts, yes.
Let me look here real quick. Hold on.
And they're on 18 or 19 wins now. Their trajectory should take them right about what they were last year.
So how do you stay the same having Wembanyama on the team? And when do you start saying, yeah, they did win 22?
That tells you how I think that tells you how tougher the Western Conference is compared to last season.
You think it was tougher this year?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you look at the road that the Lakers took last year, you know, with Golden State was, you know, Golden State last year is not, it would not be a quality team this year. And then also you had Memphis that was already injured a lot. I just don't think you had all the depth that you do this season. Western. I mean, look at team number 11, Joe, just got off of an 11-game winning streak. There's some damn good teams in the Western Conference.
I think there's something off in San Antonio, and I think San Antonio needs to – I think Greg Popovich needs to retire. They need to get out of this. They should have played better regardless.
And San Antonio just announced that Jeremy Sochan and Devin Vassell are both out for the season.
No.
What do you know? Tankathon is in full effect.
The NBA has two ways to solve this. Well, actually, it's really, really one. They make it mandatory to go to college for 3 years, unless they come out of high school straight out, which you can't really do, really. I mean, how can you do that, right? Unless you're the NFL, of course, but that has to do with physicality. So that when the NBA, when the college player is seasoned, they come into the NBA much quicker into their mold, just like how they did before, right? When you drafted Ewing, Olajuwon, David Robinson, Shaq, it was an immediate positive in terms of your record. They jumped up from 20. Heck, even Jason Kidd as a second pick, even he went up, 27 games for Dallas when he first got drafted? I think it was 27 games.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any of those. You don't have any of those players that can do that. Wembanyama is supposed to be this generational player that's never been ever like this, and yet they might have a worse record by the end of it. I don't know. I actually don't know if there's a solution.
It's a complicated question, absolutely. But I do want to mention before we head on out, I know that this is not a Lakers-related thing, but all the best to the Utah Jazz. Their general manager, Justin Zanuck, is going to have a kidney transplant on Tuesday. I was reading that story, Joe. I mean, even you might be a little bit saddened when you hear the story of him and his entire family are both, they're all having ailments in his entire family. And he is having a kidney transplant tomorrow. So my best to the Zanuck family and to the Jazz family as well. So,
what's wrong with the family? What's the health problems?
I guess the kids have health issues as well, along with him. So I guess he is obviously the worst off since he needs.
It sounds like an environmental issue. Then where are they at?
Salt Lake City, I'm assuming, because he's the GM for the Jazz. So yeah, it's a very sad situation in regards to that. But yeah, definitely hoping for a good result for Justin Zanuck, the general manager for the Utah Jazz. And we'll see what happens. But hopefully good things will happen for him tomorrow as far as the surgery is concerned. But if you see, it describes, there's an article in ESPN that describes the detail as far as their kids as well. So hopefully good things will happen for Justin Zanuck tomorrow. And hopefully we will have good things happen for the Lakers as well as they head into Toronto. 4 p.m. Pacific, another early game. I know people won't be off of work here on the West Coast yet, but Lakers are starting. And at least it's not on a weekend, Joe. At least it's not on a weekend afternoon. This is, I think, a better chance for the Lakers to go ahead and get this game. And then right after that, go into Washington and beat up on the Wizards.
Yay.
Yay. Well, 5-1. That's better than what you expected.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Keep it up, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And let's see if you can come back to L.A. with some really good momentum and close this thing out. Maybe you can get an 8 seed so we don't have to worry about 2 games.
I agree.
That I would feel be... very comfortable at the 8.
Man, but if it's Sacramento, they've got to hop up. Remember, they don't have the tiebreaker. That's the killer part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the killer.
They'd have to win the rest of the – they'd have to win all but –
7-1?
Game, I think. If they win all the rest of the games and just lose one, I mean, it's still unlikely, but they'll have a shot if they do that.
Yeah. Well, that pretty much lays it down. So we'll see tomorrow. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching this thing. He said he's going to be busy, but he will find time for a Lakers nightcap tomorrow for you out there because he owes you one. So he'll bring it to you.
I might be mobile when I do it too.
Okay. Well, there you go. Absolutely. Looking forward to that. But it is, again, the Lakers fast break. Frank, you're riding high on your Mavericks right now. So Mavericks are the team I think nobody wants to face in the playoffs. So watch out for them. But, of course, it is the Lakers fast break. We will go ahead and check you out tomorrow as the Lakers head into Toronto. Hopefully Magic Man's at the game. Hopefully he'll be at the game. Did he say he was going to the game tomorrow?
I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, you should. Maybe he'll give you a report on the nightcap. So, see. Yay. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. You were so excited about that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Whatever. It is the Lakers fast break. Thanks so much again for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for all the coverage against the Toronto Raptors for the Los Angeles Lakers. Will the Lakers get it done against two of the worst teams in the NBA back-to-back? Kurt Affair, absolutely. Going back on the Wayback Machine. He'll be stuck in Toronto traffic. We'll see if the Magic Man will be stuck in Toronto traffic or if the Lakers will get it done in Toronto. We'll find out right here, of course, on your very best Lakers coverage on the Lakers Fast Break podcast.